Welcome, everybody. The Southern Alliance for Clean Energy is pleased to host the Southeast Coastal Climate Network's webinar series. On behalf of SACE and the Southeast Coastal Climate Network, I would like to thank you for attending today. Your interest and support make our work possible. My name is Erin Cameron, and I'm the SACE Development and Outreach Coordinator, and I will be the acting facilitator for today's webinar. I'd like to take just one moment to review your control panel on your screen. We will be recording this webinar today, so So all lines have been muted and will remain that way throughout the presentation. So if you have any questions throughout the presentation, which we do encourage, please type them in using the question option on your control panel. Your questions will then be answered in the order they are received at the end of the presentation. All materials for today's presentation will also be available on the SACE website, cleanenergy.org. I'd now like to turn the presentation over to Chris Carnevale, SACE Coastal Climate and Energy Coordinator. Chris?
Thanks, Erin. Thanks, everyone, for attending the webinar today. My name is Chris Carnevale, and I'm the manager of the Southeast Coastal Climate Network. As you can see on the current slide, the Southeast Coastal Climate Network is a coalition of individuals and organizations spanning the coastal Southeast who are working on coastal responses to climate change. We have members as far north as Maryland and as far west as Louisiana. The purpose of the network is to bring voices together, to trade information, and to synergize our efforts. The Southeast Coastal Climate Network is hosted under the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. Our largest tool is our group site website, which is an online platform that enables members to send group emails, post discussion topics, or relevant news to discussion boards, and use a shared group calendar. If you're interested in joining the network and using these tools, please just visit the web address on the screen now, seccn.groupsite.com, and click Join This Group Now. For those of you on this webinar who are already members, I want to encourage you to use those tools to help get your message out. The purpose of the group is to encourage communication and collaboration, and you have a receptive group of people at your fingertips. So please don't be shy and use the web tools. Another great tool we have is our webinar series, of which today's webinar is a part. Today we're joined by Councilman Greg Duckworth from the city of North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and Monroe Baldwin, chair of the North Strand Coastal Wind Team. Greg and Monroe will present today on the innovative efforts going on with wind energy in North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Councilman Duckworth is the founder and principal in charge of Environmental Concepts, LLC, an award-winning professional landscape architecture and land planning firm. He has over two decades of professional experience with a diverse background of projects throughout the eastern United States. In addition to his professional career, Greg holds an FAA pilot certificate and enjoys the great outdoors. He believes in giving back to the community and, as such, is involved with numerous civic organizations. Presently in his third four-year term as a councilman for the city of North Myrtle Beach, Greg is interested in enhancing quality of life issues through projects, plans, and policy. He regularly volunteers his firm's professional services to the betterment of the community and has been an advocate for South Carolina's wind industry commons and promoting North Myrtle Beach as a demonstration city. Mr. Baldwin's primary business is Myrtle Beach Tours, a beach vacation company based in North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. In 2007, Mr. Baldwin became active with the Chamber of Commerce by joining the Board of Directors. His hard work earned him a seat on the Economic Development Council. He is active in his community. In addition to his board seat with the North Myrtle Beach Chamber of Commerce, he's also served with numerous civic organizations, was the past chairman of the Economic Development Council, and is chairman of the North Strand Coastal Wind Team. Monroe gained his education in the Economic School at George Mason University. He studied under the program set forth by Nobel Prize in Economics winner James N. Buchanan. He earned his BA in Economics in 1990, and he continued in other areas of study, such as real estate development and finance. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to Monroe.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Monroe Baldwin of the North Strand Coastal Wind Team, and here beside me is Gregory Duckworth, City Councilman for the City of North Myrtle Beach. Today we have approximately about 39 slides. We'll move through these slides fairly quickly. It'll probably take about 12 minutes to go through. And if you have any questions that arise, please write them down and we'll have a question and answer session at the end of this presentation. So I will begin. North Myrtle Beach entered the wind energy picture as a city with a progressive reputation and an eye to the future. The following set of slides shows a community's logical path into wind energy. Over the past several years, North Myrtle Beach has undergone a sustainable growth and prosperity initiative that has affected all aspects of our community. Part of this program was establishing the North Strand Coastal Wind Team with the mission to build a community-based wind energy program. We see this initiative as environmental and as an economic development platform. We know wind energy can bring tremendous opportunities to our city, our state, and our region as this story unfolds. What does the landscape look like from the perspective of a small coastal community with an economic history of tourism? Let's read the tea leaves. We see electrical costs increasing for our community. A few weeks ago, Duke Power announced a 15.1% increase for their South Carolina customers. Furthermore, South Carolina Electric and Gas and Santee Cooper announced rate increases. We know that there are issues involving cleaning up coal plants that have closed. This may cause further rate increases. We believe a major advantage of offshore wind is it can put a cap on energy costs. A cost cap will be foundational to a strong local economy and a healthy environmental future. We know the Palmetto Wind Project has determined that Long Bay has productive wind fields. We also have learned that the ocean bottom is sandy and flat, making it ideal for the installation of gravity foundations for turbines. It can simply be set on the ocean floor. This is one of the least expensive methods of offshore wind farm installation. We also know that according to a preliminary study by Clemson University, the electrical grid in our region is robust. We can withstand an electrical injection from an offshore wind farm of up to 334 megawatts without a violation. This is many times greater than our city's current electrical consumption. When looking out beyond our city line, we see a state in a wind energy economic emergence. In the upstate, we have General Electric, one of the world's largest wind turbine manufacturers. In North Charleston, the Clemson Restoration Institute has built the world's largest wind turbine drivetrain test facility. Future turbine manufacturers have their eye on our region. To our north, North Carolina is promoting wind energy development off their shore. They already have multiple regions set aside for offshore wind farms. Skip it. When we decided to insert our city into this unfolding story, how did we do it? What model did we use to develop a community who proudly says, wind power is our future? A city where we look out on turbines and say, they are ours, we are a smart community. We began this development by building an alliance of support. We held a big tent mentality and included groups from every corner of the community and beyond. The municipality, economic groups, civic groups, education, research. Together, we gained the general support necessary to solidify the vision. Acclimation milestones. What were some of the steps we took along the way? The city adopted a small wind turbine ordinance that allows smaller turbines to be installed with consideration given for hurricane standards. Next, we received a grant from the South Carolina Energy Office to install demonstration turbines. Seven locations along our beach were designated as test turbine demonstration sites. Santee Cooper has installed the first turbine at Towers on the Grove, and the wind team has installed two more one in Cherry Grove on the Marsh and one in Ocean Drive at the Oceanfront City Park. The fourth will be installed by Santee Cooper at 39th Avenue South this spring. These demonstration turbines were instrumental in introducing the technology to the public. As they were being installed, the public came forth and gave input. We want the idea and sight of a turbine to become commonplace. We started to draw attention to our work in progress. In this picture here, it shows the first turbine installed in North Myrtle Beach and the first turbine tied into the public electrical grid in South Carolina. Reaching beyond our city limits, we tied our program into the state's K-16 science education program. The data from our turbines is collected by students at our local Coastal Carolina Burroughs and Chapin Center for Marine and Wetland Studies. They then send the data to Orangeburg Calhoun Technical College in the center of our state for use in their wind turbine instrumentation program. The data is posted onto an educational website for grade school science programs and is also sent to Savannah River National Labs for verification work. So how did we do? We felt the positive support building. Here you see our Chamber of Commerce CEO, Mark Jordan, receiving the National Small City of the Year Award for the Green Plus Institute for our work in wind energy. On this slide, our mayor, Marilyn Hatley, is receiving a Government Conservationist Award from the National Wildlife Federation. We conducted two small surveys within the Chamber of Commerce membership at intervals, each showing near a 90% approval for wind energy development. Last year, a scientific survey was performed by Clemson University. The survey was thorough and lasted 6 months. They questioned citizens, business stakeholders, and tourists alike. We are pleased that with confidence, we can say that wind energy has over a 77% approval rating in North Myrtle Beach. The final milestone in the acclimation phase was reached in November 2012. The City Council of North Myrtle Beach passed a resolution to host an offshore wind farm off our coast. This resolution states that the community will form a public-private partnership to install a cable to come ashore. Furthermore, it states that North Myrtle Beach will become an electrical co-op or possibly be designated an electric city. Our next phase is the business model for hosting a wind farm. We see the development in three distinct parts. Number one, the offshore wind development company that will obtain the lease blocks and install the wind farm. Part number two, the community-owned cable company that brings the power ashore into North Myrtle Beach. And number three, the customer who will purchase the wind energy. The Bureau of Ocean Energy Management has identified lease blocks in North Carolina that are acceptable for wind development. The lower section is on the North Carolina-South Carolina line. Five companies have expressed interest in developing these areas into wind farms. We expect that the southern section of acceptable lease blocks will extend across the line into South Carolina waters in the near future. This is a business diagram map for the North Myrtle Beach Community Wind Project. It shows the community-owned cable extending 10 miles out to a platform for a wind farm to plug into. And that cable is the red dotted line going out at a 45-degree angle from the beach. In the upper right-hand section, there's a yellow star. A turbine service area in Little River is noted where that star is. Also in that same area, we expect to see an enhanced marine recreation economy, including sightseeing and fishing fleets. The areas in green at the upper part of the picture show the extent of North Myrtle Beach's territory, including newly annexed areas that are open for development. Okay, this slide here, it represents the cable coming ashore. You can see the offshore wind farm in the upper right-hand corner, and the cable comes across the ocean bottom and through, comes up where our deep water outfall is, and ties into our grid. We see this cable as being owned by multiple partners. This partnership is not completed, but we see the community as having an ownership through shares. We see the city being a partner, a capital partner in the cable. And we also see industry around South Carolina participating and investing into this cable. The third component. So, who will the customer be and what will be the cost? Increasing numbers of major corporations have adopted renewable energy standards. Can these companies be customers? For example, Boeing. Boeing has internal renewable energy standards. That shows a solar roof on their South Carolina facility. BMW has adopted wind energy to power some of their facilities. What will it take to offer surplus portions of the wind farm output to major electrical companies that are here in South Carolina? We cannot raise energy costs on our corporations. They will become uncompetitive. Wind energy may be 4 to 8 cents higher per kilowatt hour from the offset. We see the right customer as being the missing component to this model. But can a well-placed demand-side tax credit help? It may be that we need a demand-side state tax credit to open this new industry in South Carolina. This is a tax credit that provides relief for the amount of premium paid for renewable energy in the early years. Number one, it gives the customer an honest choice on what kind of power to consume. Number two, it may attract companies to South Carolina that are reshoring to America. Number three, wind energy in South Carolina can turn into an economic development leadership story that supports the manufacturing reemergence in America. Thank you for letting me share our vision. Okay, so we enter the question and answer section, and we have a couple of questions up here. And the first one is, how have the citizens of the city responded to the city's pro-wind stance? Turn this over to Greg.
Hey, it's Greg Duckworth here. I just wanted to say that that's a good question. I feel like it's interesting, over the past several years, it's evolved from just a matter of, that's interesting, to, come on already, folks, let's get those turbines out there. We're tired of hearing about it. We're ready to see it happen. So it's been a very positive result as far as the way that we've approached acclimation of the wind here along the North Myrtle Beach, North Strand coast. Another question says, the questions are just flying in here. What sorts of research and initiatives had to happen before you installed the first turbines?
Okay, well, I can say that the first turbines that we put in along our coast were for demonstration and acclimation. We paid attention to where these turbines went, but I don't think we did extensive studies on the absolute perfect placement. So the installation company, Wind Turbines of South Carolina, came and they determined what would be a good spot and what would not be a good spot, and they made the placement for us, and they helped us choose the exact spot to put it in. They all produce various amounts of electricity. Some produce better than others, and it also depends on what time of year.
Also, just keep in mind that as we went through the process of making the decision of where to place these small wind energy systems, that this was a public outreach program, and so in as much as that these turbines may not be in the ideal perfect location for peak performance, they're doing their jobs admirably as far as reaching out and being highly visible to the public as they come and visit. The other thing that's interesting about these small wind energy systems that are presently installed along our coast is that they face the same challenges that a large-scale offshore wind turbine farm would face, which is that we live in a hurricane area, of course, and these small wind energy systems have to meet certain wind speed criteria, and in the event of a wind speed event, such as a large hurricane, these turbines have to be demonstrated to be secured in such a way so as to not cause damage and protects the health, safety, and welfare of our community.
I wanted to add one thing, and the key word here is acclimation. For those of you that are on the webinar that may be in a coastal community and you're thinking about offshore wind or onshore wind, and you're nervous about what the community might say, who's going to come out of the woodwork and put their foot down and halt things in a public forum, the idea of our whole model is a slow acclimation. We brought the citizens of North Myrtle Beach out to speak when facing a $30,000 installation, which this turbine on our screen is a $25,000 to $30,000 piece of equipment. And in the beginning, everybody had something to say. And there were a few people that had concerns, and there were a lot of people that were in support. But the point was, we didn't know what the reaction was going to be. So as we put up the small turbines, people came forth, they gave their opinion. We talked to them, we explained the potential of wind energy, and so the community slowly became accepted. They accepted the total concept of wind energy. And so as the next turbines went up, we started to get less and less reaction from the community.
There's another question that says, have you had to address citizens' concerns about offshore wind interfering with beach tourism? I think that was somewhat covered in the slides earlier with the Clemson study saying that 77% exhibited a favorable response to that particular question. So that's good. We felt good about that. There's another question. Can you please explain how the operations and maintenance fleet will play into the whole scheme?
Okay. Well, one of the economic benefits of an offshore wind farm is where the service boats will come into. On one of our earlier slides on where our business diagram was, we showed the Little River Inlet, which feeds into the Little River waterfront. And we see service boats coming and going from that area daily out to the wind farm to provide service. This is jobs, and it very well may be up to a $17 million economic impact to North Myrtle Beach and our waterfront.
All right. Here's another question for us. How has the power utility reacted to our work here?
Okay. That's a very good question, and it's a big question. I think the way to think about that is that the public utilities in South Carolina have been using coal and nuclear power, and they have been able to offer this energy at a very low cost in South Carolina. And I don't think that they are against wind energy at all. I just don't think they see a clear path on how wind energy can be sold to a customer that, and have it cost more than nuclear or coal. And that was one of the final aspects of our presentation, is how can we offer energy at the same cost as other alternative energies or other energies that are already there in place. And that's a challenge we have right now.
Okay. Looking to see if there are going to be any more questions coming across the screen. We're on standby mode while we look. Well.
Okay, well, that concludes our presentation, and I don't see any more questions. Hope everybody has a nice day and a great weekend.
Okay, thank you so much, Greg and Monroe, for taking the time to be with us today and sharing all this great information. I want to thank everyone else for attending us as well. We'd like to thank our